Calling the meeting to order. It feels good to hold the gavel. Yes, I know. Normally, I'm on the other side of the bench and the judge holds the gavel, although I am told that most judges actually don't have gavels anymore. So, welcome to our meeting, and this is the 11th meeting of 2019. Calling it to order, why don't we start with the overview? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm stepping over your toes.
No problem.
Please go ahead.
All right. Item number two is monthly summary of commission activities.
I am happy to report, this is on page 4 of 7, for those who have the report, a number of great activities and achievements that have been done. For example, over 100% in terms of C, police community reconciliation cases, support to hate crime victims, which is over 200% of what the actual goal was. There are a number of activities that are moving forward that are 50% or over, such as police diverse community dialogues, and another one that's at 75% is community training on intergroup relations topics. There are a few that are not quite at 50% yet that are still being worked on, and that an example would be the Chiefs Advisory Boards and Sheriff's Interfaith Council is one example. In terms of police community relations, there's been a number of activities. One, for example, is the Sheriff's Interfaith Executive Committee. There was a planning meeting in 2019, and then there's ongoing discussions of opportunities for 2020. There's been a lot of activity with the commission director and other staff. Examples are a number with Cal State Fullerton, Black Student Union Town Hall meeting. Another one there was Inclusive Language for Leaders, was also that took place there. And under commission director one-on-ones, Norma I know has been very active, meeting with some of the commissioners and gathering information from them. Another one was the commission director participating along with Vice Chancellor Reynolds to meet with the OC Department of Education and all about discussing possible collaboration in human relations forum. I'd just like to make on page 5, just to highlight that this awards, the HRC Awards 2019 nomination process is now open. It opened Friday 1st and will end on December 13th. So if there are nominees that you'd like to put forth, there's a judging committee that will look at it. The judging will occur on December 17th. So please think about submitting names for this wonderful award. And then on the last few pages relates to the issue that we discussed last time in terms of an event that was held between Marina and Segerstrom High School and issues relating to racial undertones of some of the signage that was there.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, next.
Okay, next is open forum, and I do have one request to speak from Pat Davis.
Oh, here in the center, we have a microphone for you.
Where are those tall things set? Good morning. A little discombobulated as I answer messages. That's rude, isn't it, while you're having a meeting? I'm here from Housing as a Human Right, Orange County. We were gifted with Maureen doing a presentation to our group two Mondays ago. It was great, talking a lot about interaction with police and the issues that we as volunteer advocates on the street are looking at. And the others will be back for some hate crime information. Your conversation one time I was here was about the difference between incidents and hate crimes, and we do hope to elevate, if that's the right term, the incidents that occur against homeless in our communities could in fact be recognized as a hate crime, as a protected group. The incidents are increasing more and more. I live in Anaheim. We stand out in a lot of ways, but it is countywide. So thank you for continuing to support that work. I wanted to hand out to you, next week is Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. Every week should be, but next week is a national event. We've put together many activities, stolen some from like United Way and others to put on this calendar to try to spread it countywide. So I'd like to leave you enough copies to maybe take it back to the rest of your world when you leave this meeting. And also, the thing that's getting kind of the most buzz, which is sad but good, is we're putting out a food challenge, trying to ask folks to live on what in fact would be a CalFresh allotment. I was generous in putting this together. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the word. What preceded allotment?
A CalFresh allotment, which is food stamps.
Oh, okay.
We know food stamps. They don't use that term anymore.
Hearing's not so good anymore.
And I'm sorry if I'm not close enough. And the amount seems large, but we're asking people, even if they just go through the grocery shopping experience of trying to live 1 week on what would in fact be a full CalFresh budget, we find that most don't get more than half because so many other factors are calculated in. But short of giving a small handbook, I was just trying to turn this into one flyer. So I hope you will share those. If you have any experiences with it, we ask for comments back as we do future planning. And again, I so appreciate the work that Norma and her folks are doing. So thank you for being so generous.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
What is the monthly allotment in dollars?
For one individual, it would be $194. Mm-hmm. So 48 something. It was a $2 increase from last year. Big time. 50 cents a week you've got. There are limits to where you can spend it. You cannot buy pre-made, pre-cooked, take it home warm to the kids food. I give you amounts for a family up to six, and it's limited. And those who are in shelters who need to augment a diet, which is often inadequate, don't get food stamps, CalFresh. I'm trying to change my language. They don't get CalFresh at all, which is sad. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for our speaker?
Come join us for any of these events.
Oh, and you'll be leaving the flyers are being left.
Full pages of propaganda.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item number three is multicultural education need in Orange County, Los Amigos of Orange County.
Have presentations for everyone.
Yes, please. Thank you.
So thank you so much, commissioners, for meeting with us. Los Amigos has been a nonprofit community organization that I joined right after graduating about 90 days ago. And I had a fire in me to talk about the thesis I wrote about. And my thesis was on the need for multicultural education across the board. I heard a sermon, and that sermon talked about the Holy Spirit coming among people, and I was inspired. The verse went, "The multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Behold, aren't these all Galileans?'" So the demographics of where we live is one of distinction. We're one of the highest population of any state, home to the largest populations of three specific ethnic groups, largest Latino population of any county in the United States at almost 5 million, the largest Asian population at almost 2 million, and the largest American Indian population. So with that said, my background is one that wants to promote knowledge and understanding of racial, cultural, and ethnic differences. Provide global aptitude and perspective. Cultural competency arms us with the ability to strategically think, react, and resolve. I look for opportunities that empower individuals and groups to embrace, practice, and apply cultural competency and diversity inclusion skills. So that's the whole premise of this presentation. We're introducing a curriculum called PEACE, Preventative Education and Action for Cultural Excellence. It's a proposal for our Orange County schools. When I joined Los Amigos, I came with I'm a mom of two, and I have a child in high school and a child in elementary school, and we hear in the news now consistently what's going on in the high schools, and it's scary. In the last, just this past summer, from Marina High School in Huntington Beach to Newport Beach, Newport Harbor High, San Clemente, Garden Grove, Surgestrom High Schools, these are all incidences of racism and the lack of cultural understanding, and racism is rampant right now in our community. So cultural competence is the ability to successfully teach students, also teachers, administrators, who come from a culture or cultures other than their own. It entails developing certain personal and interpersonal awareness and sensitivities, understanding certain bodies of cultural knowledge, and mastering a set of skills that, taken together, underlie effective cross-cultural teaching strategies. Cultural competence doesn't occur as a result of a one-time single-day training or reading a book or just taking a simple, you know, few-day course. Educators, students, community, to become cultural competence comes over time. But research suggests that cultural competency is a great start. There's favorable findings for multicultural education. Culturally relevant teaching promotes academic achievement and engagement. Culturally relevant teaching and school racial socialization promotes positive ethnic racial identity and positive attitudes toward others. Culturally relevant teaching promotes a sense of critical consciousness. There was a study done nationally, and it concluded that culturally relevant teaching works by considering student perceptions of classrooms that vary in the amount of culturally relevant practices. In a sample of about 300 plus students, grades 6 through 12 across the US, they completed a survey of their experiences of culturally relevant teachings, cultural socialization, opportunities to learn about other cultures, and opportunities to learn about racism. Elements of culturally relevant teaching were significantly associated with successful academic outcomes and ethnic racial identity development. The findings provide support for the effectiveness of culturally relevant teaching in everyday classrooms. So, the Orange County's multicultural educational need is prevalent. Orange County schools, especially as I reported that what we saw in the news, our high schools, are being bombarded with racist acts, resulting in community disruption, negative perceptions, fostering lack of trust, and unfavorable student and parent behavior. We've been experiencing it, right? What is being offered in our schools, whether face-to-face or online, has been limited. Multicultural and related courses have room for expansion, and it needs mobilization, and that's why we're here. There's significant demand for multicultural education in Orange County. A number of leaders exist advocating for multicultural education. However, it is considered less a priority and merely an afterthought in school districts, avoided either by lack of funding, limited support, or fueled by resistance due to some political environments and pressures. The growth of specific ethnic communities, however, continue to grow at a very fast pace here in our backyards, generating positive change both for academic and business community opportunity. So a little bit overview about what we're trying to do here. The success of multicultural education, according to ADL, the League for Defamation League, cited above, relies on the assurance that all members of school communities have a central voice in creating a plan that will lead to lasting positive change. The foundation for creating that change is strong coalition in school leaders, students, educators, and family members who have a stake in the outcomes of that plan. To further complement existing programs, such as the ones that exist in Orange County, such as the Bridge Program, we should consider not just inside the classroom, but also outside the classroom, such as using organizations like Los Amigos, which is a community-based organization. And the OC Human Relations Commission as well, and even businesses that focus on reaching diverse consumers. This goes also for online education. This type of instruction continues to grow significantly, and there's strong potential for success for teaching multicultural education in Orange County. So our community needs the need to include multicultural education courses and training at local high schools and even colleges in Orange County is in high demand. School spacing, racism, insensitivity to cultural diversity issues, and backlash demands expertise and requires proven successful solutions to tailor activities to meet the needs of our diverse communities. There's an increased amount of students seeking this nurturing and supportive environment. Multicultural education helps address racism, lack of knowledge, cultural competency skills, negative attitudes, behaviors affecting diverse communities. Multicultural education helps students grow and helps them identify and overcome discriminatory behaviors and bias, leading them to become positive participants in our society. So the proposed solution is this. For a stronger depth and substantiation to approach Orange County schools, with a strategic solution, Los Amigos of Anaheim proposes an intervention curriculum called Peace for Consideration. The acronym for PEACE stands for preventative, to help foster a climate that embraces diversity and inclusion for staff, administrators, and students, education, proven effective training and curriculum, cultural, defining, clarifying, and providing solutions that diminishes implicit and explicit bias being experienced in our diverse communities, and excellence, identifying research-based, nationally recognized, quality educational and training solutions to help solve community issues, hate, racism, and bias. So PEACE is a culturally responsive teaching and leadership strategy. It attempts to maintain heritage, cultural value, and linguistic sharing across classrooms. It sustains and supports bilingualism, multilingualism, and multi-ethnic courses. Methods to improve English language arts is also involved by changing the response to culture, including appreciation versus limitation, personal insights, cultural inquiry, allowing students for community instead of students for teacher. Collaborative discussions, conversations, critiquing about group identities, critiquing power relations, and problem solving to advance the disadvantaged are all strategies included in cultural competency education. It utilizes strategies from the American Defamation League, ADL's No Place for Hate program, which Norma is very much involved with, culturally responsive teaching theory, research, and practices from Geneva Gay, and action research proposal elements from my thesis and sharing it with Los Amigos. So here's the question.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is students for community instead of student for teachers? I'm not familiar with that.
So there's a lot of theory when it comes to the classroom where teachers do assessments based on what the structures are already in place. When a teacher now pays attention to community, the students are now responding based on their knowledge from what they are surrounded by. And that's where that comes from. In my thesis, I've got pages on that.
Well, yeah, and I know it's, I'm sure your thesis is probably, if it was anything like mine, it's 200 pages long.
Yeah.
and it took a year to develop, so I won't ask you to summarize it in the space of 30 seconds. I know that's not fair. I just not heard the terms before, and I wasn't sure what exactly it meant. In practice, what does that mean as the husband of a public school teacher?
At the assessment level, incorporating the community as part of the assessment strategies is where that's coming from.
So does that mean parents of the students are part of grading the students?
No. It's the community, understanding that this is, let's say, the diversity in a classroom, and that classroom is divided into like maybe 5, 6, 7 different types of demographics within the classroom. And so incorporating that community in the assessment, understanding maybe the books that they read, understanding the assignment of the worksheet that was involved. So that's what I'm referring to.
Certainly.
I guess what she also means by the community is that if the community is multicultural, multi-ethnic, that those teaching practice and curriculum material should reflect that multiculturalism and multi-ethnicity in the classroom itself.
Okay, so we're talking about different curriculums potentially for every school, right? Because every school could have a different demographic breakdown of its classes, or it could, one class to another could have a different demographic breakdown, right? I mean, you know, Mrs. Ramirez's class has a different breakdown in terms of demography, even though it's the same first grade class as, say, you know, Mrs. Olivares's classroom. You know, would you be looking at different curriculums for those two classrooms?
The whole premise of cultural competency is just to provide students with a platform to have an understanding that their culture is not just one culture. There's many different cultures, and exposing them to the different cultures that are out there and getting them more in tune with it. It's not a monolithic type of community. It's a...
May I interject just a second?
Oh, certainly.
In the case that you just brought up, so when we say community, so even though one classroom may not be as diverse as the classroom next door, once you look at the school is more diverse than a particular classroom that is more homogeneous population. And then when you step out to the community is more diverse than that particular classroom. So that's what the student for the community would be. The students in that more homogeneous classroom would be able to also understand, interact, and know more about, you know, the multicultural other groups outside the school.
Okay.
And outside the classroom.
Okay. And so then how broadly do you propose defining the term community then?
Multicultural community.
Okay. How broadly do you propose defining the term multicultural community then? For, let's say, for any in given classroom or any given school, you know, when we talk about the community in which that school operates, are we talking about, you know, the national community? Are we talking about statewide? Are we talking about countywide?
We're talking
legislative
about
district,
County.
Or
no, we're just talking about Orange County in general.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but these are great questions.
This is exactly the type of dialogue that this is premised on.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you. Well, and you're the expert, so that's why I had to ask.
No. Awesome. Thank you. Is there another question?
I don't know. Were you going to go on a little more about the strategies?
Because yes.
I'm curious as to what you've done so far in terms of approaching the education department and, you know,
what kind of reception
you've received.
We're actually seeking for support and endorsement so we could approach. But let me.
And collaborating.
So let me just finish up with the proposal here. So by implementing this peace curriculum, you answer the question of how multicultural education in secondary and even post-secondary impacts the needs of diverse communities. The proposal provides a two-day seminar and a follow-up of between 4 to 6 weeks of supplemental programs that uses three different measures for data collection, including probes, pre- and post-surveys for student, teacher, administrators, and other school staff, existing data utilizing students' responses, student portfolios, essay writings, and worksheets, observation data, student presentations, and collaborative in and out of classroom activities. The proposal answers, what is this cultural competency that we're all talking about? What is multicultural education? How is multicultural education used in the community today? What strategies break down implicit bias, explicit bias, and personal approaches, and even school-wide approaches? It describes positive multicultural education efforts. How are neighboring communities and organizations effectively using multicultural education, and why is this type of education so important today? Mm-hmm. So multicultural education provides transformation, realization through experiences, positive and favoring opinions, reactions and thoughts that further enhance the reason why multicultural education is so important in Orange County today. Field experts conclude that the topic is not only important, its importance is increasing. Minority groups now account for a significant part of Orange County and its surrounding areas. Through this proposal, we hope to share insights, findings that provide substantiation for multicultural education, for not just teachers, but for the students, for administrators, and for the community at large. We look to help conclude that multicultural education provides prospective teachers, students, and families with skills and strategic insights that meets the demands of a growing diverse Orange County and can help combat racism, which was the premise of me even being here today. There is a need for cultural responsive teaching, and the demand for cultural education is ever present. So this is the ask. This is what we're hoping to do. Los Amigos is seeking the endorsement of OC Human Relations Committee to help bring curriculum to fruition. We're hoping to get the support of you as commissioners, and we would like to approach the Anaheim Union High School District as a test district to survey. We would survey teachers, administrators, and students. We are also seeking direction from this committee as to who we should partner with to mobilize and have success with this type of curriculum.
And may I also add, that your collaboration support for this idea would strengthen our request to the Orange County Board of Education for implement or adopting this idea as well. So that way we can encompass the schools all over the county and not just in one particular school district.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Michael Schoenwright from the Human Rights Campaign. We want to make your job easier before there's a tagging on one of the viaducts. We want to create an atmosphere of conversation. So the OC Human Relations already have student ambassadors. We would love to reach out to them and say, what questions would you like to ask of your fellow students? And use a test case within Anaheim with the curriculum and the programs that OC Human Relations already has with the student ambassadors and saying, what kind of dialogue would you like to have?
We put some sample survey questions together in part of the appendix that is broken down for administrators, teachers, and students as a sample. It's a simple sample. We'd love to test it and see what the reception is. And from there, now I myself in the thesis have a curriculum design, but I wouldn't dare throw it out and say, oh, this is it. Absolutely not. I would want to hear the response from the students, from the community first, and tailor it to fit our community of Orange County. But I'd like to test it first. Action research is all about testing and surveying and making sure we're addressing and being equal to what we're trying to provide for the community.
Can I ask, how comprehensive is the curriculum that you've developed?
It goes from surveying first to seminar, from seminar to training to classroom activity, collaborative worksheets, testing, assessments, doing community outreach, where we actually would go to visit, let's say, an organization or a museum of tolerance, for example. But it's calibrated to do all different sorts of elements. Okay. But I have the thesis I'd love to share.
No, oh, it sounds fascinating. As you can tell, I'm fascinated by it.
I brought it.
Yeah. Oh, you brought it?
Yes.
Do you have an extra copy?
Absolutely.
May I?
I'd be
honored.
Have a look?
Oh, thank you very much. Please approach or have somebody approach.
If I might add, as that exchange is going on, my big concern as an alumni of Newport Harbor High School and someone currently teaching at Chapman, I'm teaching teachers, and I used to be a high school teacher myself. I'm really excited about the work that you all are already doing in collaboration with school districts on these things. But one of my biggest concerns is if things are changing for students in the classroom, meaning at a fundamental level of curriculum, at a fundamental level of teachers' knowledge of their students and the communities that they work in, and if it's happening in a way that is systemic so that all students can have access to these sorts of experiences. Our white students need access to it. Our students of color need access to it. Our students with varied abilities need access to it. And our students of varied identities need access to it. So we just want to help with what you're doing. And we have some ideas for how we might do that. We all have our own spaces of expertise that we come from. This is one way we might go about it that we had structured and that Darlene had put together based on her thesis. But the larger sentiment is that we're a community organization that is really excited about the work that you're already doing and that would like to partner with you to help.
And how would I contact you after reading, or who should I contact after reading this?
Oh, you can contact me.
Okay.
And I'll be more than excited.
Do you have her contact number? Okay. Thank you, Norma.
Details, and Norma has it as well.
Great.
Just like, as an aside, I'd just like to add to what Anna just said about different areas of curriculum and how they relate to different. I have written articles about the mathematics of the Mayas and the Aztecs and the Incas, and I also have some knowledge about mathematical concepts of the different ethnic groups here in California. Not ethnic groups, excuse me, indigenous groups in California. So we can include even mathematics into this.
And I have a business background. So my background is multicultural business.
Oh, okay.
We have all kinds of different expertise in Los Amigos. That's the wonderful, beautiful element of having these community-based organizations. We're advocates for multicultural.
Because of how much work is on your plate already, we want, just as community members, be an assistance. I'm saying, hey, we have some resources from human capital to, if we need to help develop a fund to create this initial survey that's developed from the student ambassadors. So we're here as a resource center and as a help, and to say thank you for the work that you're doing. This is the most critical time that we could be doing this work. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Very,
thank you.
Very educational.
There's a sample lesson in there as well.
I just wanted to add that your cause is just so important. And as an educator myself, I think what you're trying to do is at the root of so many issues that we see every day. And if you could even make a dent in this, it would be so powerful.
That means a lot to me.
Thank you so much. Collaboration will be better.
We're going to make lots of dents.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I have a couple questions. So first of all, thank you very much. And I'm particularly pleased to see HRC involved with this as well. So that is heartening. Why Anaheim?
Well, one, right, I'm a resident.
Okay.
Been there since 1999.
Yeah.
I adopted my two children from Anaheim.
Yeah.
They were through the Orange County Social Services. And me being close to there, I would want to tested in my own community. Los Amigos is from Anaheim as well.
And so the reason why I ask is just, so I am from South Orange County, and a lot of times, like, there's services that are in the central part of the county and in the northern part of the county, and yet there is definitely, we have our fair share of problems in the South as well. And so I just wanted to know, like, if, you know, there's always this, like, kind of gravitational pull to Santa Ana and Anaheim and Garden Grove. So don't forget about us in the South. Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah. She's from South Anaheim.
Yeah, okay. South Anaheim, which is still an hour schlep for me. But
I came from south of Anaheim.
Yeah.
Amy it would be great if you could sort of steward that relationship for us, because we, one of the reasons we do work with Anaheim and Santa Ana a lot is because we know the leadership there. We
right.
have strong relationships, and so we can make a call and have a meeting.
Exactly.
If you could set that up for us in South County, we would be more than happy to do that, because our students go to South County for games, right? And they come up here.
Well, and, our,
and we want them all to love each other.
Right, exactly. And we just had an incident in San Clemente, right? And so,
I'm really interested in San Clemente, Irvine. Irvine is really leading. It's been an amazing community of development and inclusion. There's some pain points here and there, but that San Clemente, that area that we can talk about, the Bernsteins are working with Newport.
Right.
But what are those? Laguna Hills, Mission Viejo, those types of areas.
Dana Point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just like when you look at like social determinants of health, you know, you look at like Los Mares in San Clemente, and you know, a lot of times people look at the affluence and forget that we have our pockets of great challenge in South County.
We show a movie called Documenting Hate Charlottesville, which we show the videos that are done in San Clemente, the Proud Boys, the Rise Above movement. They use San Clemente and Dana Point as a recruitment center, and so we see this. And even after an incident happens, we know that sometimes the students aren't aware of why this was a thing.
Right.
So going in and creating that dialogue and relationships and doing highly visible events, and again, creating the survey from the student ambassadors, making sure that we're including San Clemente, Dana Point, those areas, as being part of that feedback mechanism.
Cool. And then the other question I have, and it's always my question, so is why the schools? And the reason why I ask that is, so I come from a long public health background, and like everybody wants to go to the schools because, you know, if you rob banks, that's where the money is, right? And so we go, if we want to educate our youth, we go to the schools because that's where our youth are. But schools are also being really compounded with, you know, all the different, and you know this, right? Like all the curricula that's mandated, the state testing, the and then every initiative that any of us ever come up with, the first place that we say, well, the school should do it, my, you know, whether it's gang prevention or suicide prevention. And there's mandates that are not being carried out now in our schools because of the lack of resource. And so I just always, whenever I hear proposals about more things that the schools could be doing, I always like to throw out the idea of the potential of working like with Boys and Girls Clubs or our other kind of anchor institutions in our community where maybe, you know, schools aren't, I mean, because I schools are great partners, and I've got great colleagues there. I'm not saying that we shouldn't reach the schools, but I just also think we kind of tap them for everything, and you know, and they're not all implementing what they're legally required to implement now, like the California Healthy Youth Act, for example. So
we did HRC.
Can
we did
talk
with,
into the microphone.
Oh, sorry. So you know, we did Time to Thrive with the National Education Association, with the NEA, and so you try to create this educational foundation. And I think what Darlene is saying, that it's important to have a forum where we can address teachers so that we identify, are we being culturally competent? Or do we have a baseline understanding? So what are the different needs of the different communities? Are teachers aware of that? So we can start not only with the community organizations that OC Human Relations already works with, but I love the idea of saying, okay, from OC Human Relations, you can extend into Boys and Girls Clubs, to the Boy Scouts, to the Girl Scouts,
YMCAs,
all of those things. As we are developing a survey developed from the students, asking other students, in tandem with education and awareness of the for the teachers as well, just providing an additional resource.
So I love the suggestion, and I think we should revisit our strategy around that. But I also want to add that approaching a school and saying, oh, we have this for you to do, is just terrible. That's not what we want to do at all. I think for us, the best strategy is to approach a school or a district and find out what their needs are and find out what they haven't been able to implement or what they've been struggling with and see where we cross over, where we overlap, and where we can support with what we're trying to do so that they're achieving the things that they want to achieve. We don't want to be a burden or an add-on or seen as something that they're forced to do. It should definitely, from our perspective, if we want to walk the walk that we're talking here, shouldn't be something that we're forcing on a space. Yeah.
And in addition to that, just logically speaking, if we are able to affect teachers with this over here and they incorporate it in their knowledge repertoire, you know, they can affect generations of students, and it's not going to be just this year and it's all gone. We can affect students this particular year, but those students are going to graduate or they're going to be gone. However, the teacher is going to have contact with the students next year, mm-hmm. and the following year and so on. So that's another reason.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
So much.
I'm looking forward to reading it.
Okay. All right. Item number 4 is appoint ad hoc to review and make recommendations to propose fiscal year 2021 County of Orange contract to commission staff support.
Okay. So I believe I've already got 2 volunteers for this, myself and Rabbi Rick. If anybody else is desperate to join, we can certainly add more, but already I think we've got this ad hoc filled. Okay, great. So can I entertain a motion to approve the appointment?
You can just do it as the chairman.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess I don't need a motion. All right. This comes in handy. All right. Go ahead.
Item number 5, appoint ad hoc to awards nomination committee to participate in judging of Human Relations Council award nominees.
Okay, so I know that there was a great deal of interest by Vice Chair Kerry Reynolds to be on this. Any?
I put my name forward as well.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Okay. Great.
Wait.
Okay.
Let me clarify. This is different. Oh. This is not the Goodwill Committee. This is to help the council review nominations for their May event awardees. So for this one in particular, usually is 2 commissioners who are part of the nomination process and committee that's not only commissioners but also board members, some other stakeholders for the council. It really is just the judging of those nominations that come in.
So we should not put our name forward.
I'm just clarifying.
I wouldn't say that. I think
no. putting that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
Just so that you're aware that it's a separate thing.
Right.
But certainly, you know, the commission depends on commissioners being willing to participate and help.
I'm
so
I'm happy to put my name forth for that as well.
Okay. Excellent.
Sure.
Okay. So so we've got 3 now.
Yeah. All right.
So I think, you know, we should have a vote on that. Correct?
Nope.
Oh, so I just gotta tell somebody no?
Yep.
All right, who wants me to say no so I don't have to be rude?
No.
So we can only have 2 on this.
Oh, okay. I'll up.
Okay. Great. Ooh, this is coming in handy. I like this. Okay. Or the gavel. All right. So so we'll have Addie and Carrie on that.
Great.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And thanks, Amy, for your willingness to help.
All right. Item number 6, Human Relations Forum ad hoc update.
Me? Good morning, everyone. Thank you. We had a good meeting of the committee along with Stacy from the Orange County Department of Education, and she just sent an email just this morning that came in that indicated that the format of, first of all, there's a lot of interest and very supportive of what we are doing as a commission and trying to move this dialogue along with students and stakeholders, the community and what have you. And this earlier presentation kind of fits into that in some ways. So the proposed dates are January 7th and 22nd of January 2020, two separate events, forums, if you will, in the series. The first one will deal with parents and students. That will kind of, so we get an idea, feel for what is on their minds, similar to this other presentation that we just heard, so almost flows into that. The 22nd event will be dealing with the teachers and the faculty and staff presenters within that. And we see how those two models develop, and then we go from there.
Great work, Fareed. Any questions?
And the, well, just to add one more, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
Is the superintendent, Dr. Majaris, has been very supportive of this from what we know from Stacy, and he is going to convey this to a meeting that is coming up with all the other supervisors in the district, so which is very positive. Yeah.
Any questions? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 7, anti-hate campaign ad hoc update.
Since Rick's not available, Norma, Amy, go ahead.
Hello. So we had a really great meeting, and much thanks to Rabbi Rick and to Norma for putting together a beautiful proposal. And we've got two components to it. In one component, there's going to be a forum where we bring together students and youth and do a forum on hate and creating better understanding. And then the other component of it, which I'm super excited about, is to have the youth coming up with their own campaigns. And so making videos and using their own forms of like social media to help to push out messages. But then for us to maybe augment that with some paid placements of media and potentially having also like thought leaders or spokespeople in the community developing some videos and some social media as well.
Great, fantastic. Any questions for Amy? Great work. Okay.
All right. Item number 8, Commission Staff Report, Response to Marina and Segerstrom High School's Incidents and Homelessness Advocates Work Update.
All right. So in your packets, I added an article that was in the news a couple of weeks back. Segerstrom High School, which is a Santa Ana high school, visited Marina High School in Huntington Beach for a football game, and Twitter blew up with pictures and comments from parents from Segerstrom denouncing or feeling offended by some of the posters that the students from the ASB group in Marina High School had posted. So we received a call from the principal from Marina High School asking for help and support in trying to navigate this. And commission staff have been meeting with the principal at Marina High School and the vice principal. We had two listening sessions with the students in Marina High School, and we will be having actually a meeting with the principal at Segerstrom tomorrow. And what we have offered as commission staff to both schools is to hopefully bring both of the groups together, students from the ASB group in Marina and some of the students that were affected by that were there that night and were affected by the rhetoric, and hopes that we can have a respectful dialogue about the impacts, and then hoping that leading the students and hoping that they'll be able to come up with some strategies together on how to move forward and how to maybe heal some of the harm, and you know, that could look like a statement or an event, but it'll really be up to the students. So there is no timeline because we're working through some details with the students, but we will keep the group at the commission apprised on you know, where we land with this, and if we get a joint dialogue, then I will make sure to inform commissioners about it and hope that maybe our chair or vice chair or others can come and observe and maybe even just thank the students and talk about the work that we do here. So I will keep you posted on where we land with that. So Pat kind of touched base on this. I know that several months back, we had several homelessness advocates come and speak to the commission. And since then, commission staff and I have been in communication and working with them and trying to find different ways of collaborating and supporting their work. The first one has been really just bringing education pieces about our police community reconciliation program and hate crime work and how to track and respond. So we're trying to see how we might be able to help them build in or build out some reporting systems so they're able to reach us and send some of those reports for support to our commission staff. And then the second piece has been on what type of support do the advocates need themselves? Mostly has been offering dialogues to hopefully help advocates recharge as they continue the difficult work and amazing work that they're doing in the community. So I wanted to update the commission on that's what we've been working on since their presentations. This is not on the agenda, but it was because it happened this morning. So for those who might not know, there was a school shooting in Santa Clarita at a high school this morning. And there, since last it was reported, there was 7 deaths. And I actually have a colleague from the office that has a nephew in the school. He's okay, but it's just another example of why our work is important and key. And I will be reaching out to that district. And I know it's outside of Orange County, but only because they really don't have a human relations commission. That was disintegrated a couple years back. So I want to make sure that there is some support system, even if it means that I connect them to other human relations commissions or organizations that are close to them, because I am part of the CAIRO board, which is the California Association. So I will be doing that this afternoon.
Thank you, Norma. Any questions for Norma?
Okay, item number 9 is update from OC chiefs and sheriffs.
Thank you. Norma, if I could just comment on your last topic you brought up, and of course, another tragic incident. And if it provides any kind of comfort at all to the community, to say, speaking on behalf of law enforcement, not just in Orange County, but across the entire country, there has been such incredible focus on law enforcement working with groups like this, with schools, to better prepare, first and foremost, hopefully prevent these things from occurring in the first place through education and intervention. But beyond that, when these tragic things do occur, what kinds of things can law enforcement do to help prepare our community, whether it's in a school or in a faith-based facility or a business, respond in a manner that is going to protect lives, right? So I felt appropriate to acknowledge that. And then secondly, I just wanted to say, different topic, but for anyone that's paying attention to the media, there's been a series of articles that discuss criminal cops in California recently, and some pretty disturbing articles about law enforcement conduct. And so, what I want to say about that is, in our profession, there are officers who make bad choices, commit crimes, and that infuriates those of us who are committed to professionalism in this profession. And it angers us more than it angers the community, I might argue, in some cases, because of the fact that it reflects so poorly upon a profession that we are trying to uphold to high standards. And so I feel comfortable in speaking on behalf of law enforcement how much we appreciate and never take for granted the ability to have a representative on this commission and be committed to this great work. And of course, one aspect of this work is police community relations, and just how important that is, and just reassure the public that despite the fact that there are officers out there that sometimes do very bad things, the vast majority of our law enforcement in Orange County is committed to doing the right things for the right reasons, and committed to serving their communities. And the last thing I want to say is just Irvine specific, I think it's interesting. I'm very proud of this. So about a month ago or so, maybe a little bit longer, we were approached by members of the SEEK community who requested to come to our all of our police briefings, six briefings total, within a period of about 2 or 3 days, and provide training about SEEK culture, religion, and practices. And I saw that as a really great opportunity. So we're in the midst of that now, and we're having members of the SEEK community in Orange County come to all of our police briefings and provide all of our street cops with that training. It's been invaluable. And in fact, we've now invited them to come to the Orange County Chiefs of Police and Sheriff's meeting to provide an overview of what they can offer to all of Orange County law enforcement. And I might add that among those who have been involved in this training directly, we all know him. I think we all know him, Gupri, who is on the board of directors for Orange County Human Relations. He's definitely been a great friend and supporter. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions? And thanks for making that point about the level of professionalism and the commitment of the vast majority of law enforcement officers to making it a safer and better community. Go ahead.
That's okay. So item 10 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Rabbi's not here. We don't have one yet because it hasn't happened, but the next one will be next week. So we should have an update by December.
Great.
Okay, and we have announcements from commissioners.
I'm not a commissioner, but I want to make that clear.
She stayed in a Holiday Inn Express, though.
I did want to share, and I will be sending this out. I completely forgot to add it, but the FBI has released their 2018 hate crime report. And it shows there's a slight 0.77% drop in hate crimes reported this year, but it's a 16-year high. And there has been definitely increase in hate incidents. So I will be sending out that report just to highlight that from the report is that 21% of the hate crimes reported were anti-Latino or anti-Hispanic. So there's a lot more data around there, but I think it just cuts across with the Attorney General report, our report, and the FBI report. Our work is absolutely necessary in the community now. So I will be sending out the link to that report to everybody.
Norma, can I ask, is that FBI report, is it national data or is it just countywide?
It's national.
Okay. Is there a breakdown for the county?
They should. Yes, they usually do have. Sorry, they usually do have a breakdown. So I will be sending that out.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, well, I wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and we look forward to seeing everyone in December.
Thank you.
Not loud enough.
Sometimes it's hard.